Good morning, everyone. Well, I'm reporting to you. I'll be seeing the hematologist tomorrow to get the blood done so that I can be ready with the results for Tuesday to see the medical oncologist. That's the usual routine. And then you decide what to do on the basis of that. But personally, I feel all right, except my appetite is not always good. And it goes up and down. And I don't quite like that. But there it is. Anyway, yesterday we came to the food fair. We bought back some otah and some other things which are quite tasty. And that was quite helpful. It was a hot day. How many of you were here? I just kept to the ground floor, the basement one, because it's too tiring to go up, and there are too many people. I think I missed some good music upstairs, and I was told that the laksa and the popiah, no, the laksa and the achar were sold out. So anyway, they're on the third floor. So there it is. So thank you for your prayers. Now, today, I'm going to do with you the last psalm of the series, Psalm 150. After which, we will launch into the studies of the people in the Bible. And we'll choose God leading and guiding certain people in the Old and New Testament. Obviously, we can't study them all, nor do we want to, just as we didn't do all the Psalms. So here we are, Psalm 150. So you turn to that Psalm. And before we study that, shall we bow in prayer before the Lord? Gracious Lord, we give you thanks for bringing us to this wonderful session where we, with the Spirit Himself leading us, learn how to praise you with your people of long ago, of whose joy permeates this whole book. And we have experienced it as we study it together, as His joy filled their hearts and our hearts. And so today, may you not also bless us once more as we close this study of the Hebrew Psalter, that we too may join them in spirit who have long ago passed us. But today there are still people, the true Israelis, who praise you because they know the Lord Jesus and because they are true to your word. So Lord, we seek the Holy Spirit's leading and enlightenment as we open our Bibles to study Psalm 150. Grant us, Lord, that blessing, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Psalm 150, we come finally to this last psalm, the climax of this is a great doxology. The whole Psalter is a collection of psalms. This is the Hallelujah chorus, you might call it that way, of this Hebrew hymn book. We have our hymn book. This is their hymn book. So we have gone through the study of a lot of those psalms. Not all of them, but enough to know all the sobs and the sighs and the cries and the cries of triumph as well of despair and except also the shouts of joy and all those hopes and those faith with so many of the Hebrew hymns are now finally land up in today's psalm, which we are going to study because it comes finally before the throne of God. You remember the book of Psalm begins with Psalm 1, which says, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. It begins with God blessing man. Blessed is the man. The book ends, the book of Psalms ends with man blessing God. As you can see, from what we read here, praise the Lord. So it's just so appropriate, is it not? So, this book of Psalms, therefore, ends appropriately with us praising Him. And the praise of God comes up very spontaneously. It's not a long psalm. It's a short psalm, but what comes out is like a very spontaneous, it comes out and appears to be repetitious, but in fact it's not, as we can see as we go along. And this is like a hallelujah chorus, as I said. And it's like an early morning sunrise service where the pastor says at the end of the service, Christ is risen. And the people say, Christ is risen indeed. Something like that, this psalm. That's the impression I get when I looked at it. So now, this psalm divides very naturally into three parts. It tells us where to praise God, then why do we praise God, and how do we praise God. And then one more, who should praise God? That's why you can see this word praise. Praise the Lord three times. Praise God once and praise Him nine times. So let me now read this psalm. Praise the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in His mighty expanse. There you are, three times already there. Then verse 2, praise Him in His mighty deeds, praise Him according to His excellent greatness, praise Him with trumpet sounds, praise Him with the harp and lyre, praise Him with tambourine and dancing, praise Him with the string instruments and flute, praise Him with loud cymbals, praise Him with resounding cymbals. Everything that has breath shall praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord means hallelujah. That's the Hebrew, but it doesn't come with translated. It should begin with hallelujah. But all the Bible says praise the Lord, because we are more familiar with that. So firstly, what did I say? The first thing is where to praise God. Well, where should everything that has breath praise God? It's the first verse. It's a very comprehensive answer. Where? It is in His sanctuary, in His mighty heavens. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. His sanctuary, of course, in those days meant the temple, and for us it will mean the church, our church where we worship. But the sanctuary is a place which was hallowed by all the Jews, because it's such a holy place. You already know through our Bible studies the structure of the sanctuary, the most holy place, which is square, and the other part is an oblong. It's a holy of holies, which is square, and a holy place, which is more or less oblong. And then you have the courtyard, and then you have the laver, and then you have the place of sacrifice. So this verse 1 calls us to praise God on earth in His sanctuary and in heaven. The words "in His mighty firmament" means in heaven. So we praise Him in two places. We are told God is to be praised everywhere. That's another way of putting it. Now, today we do not have an earthly sanctuary, though we worship and praise God in our churches, but we don't have the sanctuary like they have, but we have a church. But we have something more than that. Something that our pastor mentioned this morning when he told us about the temples of our body being the being a living temple. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 16, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16, which reads, "Or what agreement does the temple of God have with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Just as God said, I will dwell among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." So when we praise God, we can praise Him then in our very being. That's what it means. We are the temple. We praise Him with our very being. That is a wonderful thought. And so also with the other verses, we are told to praise God because God indwells us in our bodies, which means everywhere we go, not only in a specific place. Certainly, the angels of God praise Him everywhere they go. So, why not we? We should imitate them. Angels don't confine the praise of God to one place. They praise Him everywhere. And then now we have this thought which was given by Philippians in chapter 2 verse 10, which is well known to all of us. "For every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." That's in Philippians 2:10. There's this future tense, shall confess, even if they don't now. He is to be praised eternally, in all places, at all times, world without end. Not only above, but all the places where people are ever found. Some of them are now in lonely caverns hiding from the people who persecute them, who want to kill them. Please pray for them. I mentioned to you before, missionary letters that I have, some of them make very sad reading, but they also are very triumphant reading. People who survive the persecution by helping one another, and other Christians who visit them at the risk of their own lives to bring food and to bring all the necessities of life, whether it's in Syria or in Lebanon or in Egypt, where the Coptic Christians worship in the caves, or in Yemen, the Christians are persecuted. I mean, I've always prayed the Oman in Yemen next to each other, Omani Christians who go out to help them, and so on. Keep all this in mind. We shall all yet praise God together one day when we are there. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Yes, that's our praise. So, some of our relatives and loved ones are already up there. There's a very spacious auditorium up there, by the way, larger than this one, where they're all praising God. So we can join them in the hallelujahs as they sing around the throne, as we are told and described for us in Revelation. And this is what we do, whether we do it privately or whether we do it in a church or in public worship, we praise the Lord. And therefore, I think people should learn to return to the church. You know, we were given there's a time when we couldn't come because of the lockdown. Now the lockdown is over already, but the habit remains. We rather stayed behind and don't want to come. Well, I say this too to people in the class. You can come back. You're welcome to come back. We need to have fellowship, praising God together. It's important too. Because the worship is all his own personal thing. We must worship God ourselves, of course. No one else can do it for us. The choir cannot worship for us. The pastor cannot worship for us. But nevertheless, it is good for us to worship together. It's called corporate worship. We do it with others and do it for the entire people of God, so that each one of us, though we worship personally, old and young, fathers and mothers, children, if you are a Christian, worship is for you, whoever you are. Then we come to the next verse. Why to praise God? Verse 2. And what does it say? Verse 2 says, praise God for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. So just as in His sanctuary, in verse 1, and in His, what does it say, mighty heavens, mean that God is to be praised everywhere, so does this verse tell us everything for which God should be praised, the acts of power. Praise Him for what? For His acts of power. His works of creation, works of salvation. If you are Christian, you will know that. It's an excellent subjects, topics in our mind and our hearts for the creatures who have been saved by Him to praise Him. Praise Him for who He is. Suppose you say you love someone, you don't love someone, only love someone for what? Not just a pretty face. You love someone for who the person is. And in God's case, we know we have the doctrinal thesis, some of them a bit hard to understand, but we are told that we are that of His many qualities, which we read in doctrinal basis, in confessions of faith. I don't know whether we really understand that attributes and qualities like His sovereignty, His holiness, His omniscience, His immutability, love, grace, goodness, compassion, justice, truth and wisdom. God is to be praised both for who He is and for what He has done. I'd like to say a word about this word immutability, because we read it sometimes in our confessions of faith and it's not explained to us. Immutability. What is immutability? Immutability has two important consequences for us. First, God can be trusted to remain as He reveals Himself to us. Because God has revealed Himself to Moses, He's the same God, it's the Lord reveals Himself to us. He's the same God. He's not a different one that was on Mount Sinai. The God who revealed Himself in Jesus to the disciples, to the people of His generation, will always be like the Jesus who reveals Himself to us, or has revealed Himself to us, who has saved us, because God will never change. That's immutable. Immutable in His attributes, the attributes I mentioned just now, wisdom, holiness, omniscience. Omniscience, you know, He knows everything. So God will always be sovereign. Sovereign meaning He will always rule without peer, without challenge. He is holy, He is wise, He is gracious, He is just, He is compassionate, and everything else that He has revealed Himself to be to us. Nothing will ever change. God is immutable. That is important for us to remember. Immutability of God means that He will not go away. We may try to change him in our mind, but he remains the same. We can't change him. We may have thoughts about him. We may change, but he doesn't change. Just immutable. Wonderful God that we have. So, why praise God? He is immutable, loving, gracious. There's so many aspects of his being which we ought to examine. Take time to do that. Then our love for him, our understanding of him deepens because we know better, more about him. So, God is to be praised both for who he is and for what he has done for us. And that is what is true, isn't it? The reason we worship God is that we know something about him and what he has done for us, which makes us admire him. We are filled with gratitude and our faith rises and we are joyful because of what we know about him. That's why worship is something which is heartfelt, is emotionally charged expression. It's a rational response of the mind and the heart together. True worship is therefore a response to what we know more of God as a result of his revealing himself to us. Now, these Psalms that we have been studying as an illustration of that, as you see the people of God struggling in their faith, but yet in the end still coming and bowing on their knees and saying, yes, you are Lord, after all, and I'm just a man, I'm just human. And that's why they're very encouraging to us, because they are like us. We are all human beings, whether we live in another age or this age, we really can praise him. So the question that I ask you and myself is, you know God, you know God. Are you able to praise him for who he is and for what he has done? And the only way you will ever come to know him is by studying the Bible. Think about that. You cannot just sit down there and meditate. This is not an exercise in meditation. You don't meditate on nothing. It's not like some of the religions, sit down and meditate on mei tofu. This is, you meditate on this. This is a substrate, the thing on which we meditate. Because this tells us about him. So, meditate about the things that we already know, but we need to think about again. Think about the great things that have happened. For us, it's not the building of the temple or the in and outs of Israeli history, triumphs and tragedy, disobedience and so on, and how God used prophets to rescue them. What a great thing it was in history that Jesus was born. That's not long ago. It must have been a heart-stopping moment of time. It was when Jesus died, the just for the unjust, to bring us to God. It was a great moment when he rose from the dead. It was a great moment in history when the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, which is a historical book, as you know, he then just swept into that crowded room that day among the disciples and gave birth to the Christian church. We celebrate, isn't it, the Advent, and after that we have the Kingdom Tide, all these liturgical periods of the Church to remind us, which is very methodical because we are Methodists. We always classify things. I always tell my wife, you're a Methodist because she's more methodical than I am. So it is good to be methodical without being legalistic. Methodical without being legalistic. So his rising from the dead, his the giving of the Holy Spirit in that upper room in Jerusalem, we gave rise to the Church, this mystical body of Christ of which we are all here. And also the great moment when the New Testament was completed, when the ink dried after John wrote that letter in Patmos, where we have studied it. Finally, the New Testament is completed. That was a great moment too. Think about these things. Why to praise God? Praise God that we have the Bible. Praise God, by the way, for Paul, not only John, for Paul, Saul of Tarsus formerly, who was converted. There was a great moment when he obeyed the Spirit's call and he crossed over to Europe and with the gospel. Europe was then very pagan, under Roman, Greco, what I want to call them religion. They are still kind of they worship everything. They don't even know what they were worshiping. They worship a number of gods. Aphrodite, the god of love, and the Atlas, who rule the world, and so on. It's up to you who you choose to worship. But here comes Paul, who went to Rome, and then converted the Romans. And then the Roman missionaries then went to England. And went to England with the English language. You know what happened after that? English missionaries went all over the world. To China, not China, inland mission, Singapore, Anglo-Chinese school, the Anglican schools. And you know what happened after that. That's why we are here. Because we heard the word of God. This is something to think about. Why to praise God? Verse 2. Because of this. You see how broad it is? We're not just sitting down and think, God is very great, God is very great. Wait, about what? Because all these things must pass through our mind as we read the Bible. The Holy Spirit will bring this to us as we think about it. And we have this wonderful book in front of us to remind us of how great He Himself is. So these are some of the mighty acts that demonstrate His excellent greatness. Verse 2 says, praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. These are some of the things that are part of the anthem that we have to praise Him. And now, verses 3 to 5 go together. So I'll read that. Praise Him with trumpet sound. Praise Him with harp and lyre. Praise Him with tambourine and dancing. Praise Him with stringed instruments and flute. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord indeed. So telling us, the psalmist, after telling us where to praise God in verse 1, and reminding us why we should praise Him in verse 2, these next three verses tell us something else. This is about one half of the psalm already. We finish one half. Tell us how God should be praised. What's the answer? The answer is with everything we have got. If you got a trumpet, if you are a trumpet player, then you use that. If you are good at the violin or piano, or you have a harmonica, like me, I can only play that, then use that. Worship Him with that. the point that the psalm makes is actually that everything you have can be used to worship God. What about the instruments mentioned here, trumpets and all that? Because the trumpet is usually mentioned in the Bible referring to the shofar. The shofar, you can want to see an example of shofar. I don't know whether there's one in the church, but there's one in the Christian book room. It's a ram's horn. Begins small and become big. A blow on it, it's got a special sound, the shofar. Very loud. It makes a tremendous noise. And the noise carries out a very long way. It's used in battle to sound for messages, and at the same time used for worship. Tambourines, we know. Tambourines are linked to dancing. That's in verse 4. Praise him with the tambourine and dancing, the two linked together, because they were normally used by women when they danced. And then they sort of shake this, and then they clap it on their knees and so on. It's very nice to watch them do it. And verse 5 mentions two kinds of cymbals. The words used are actually not repetitive. Praise him with loud cymbals, praise him with resounding cymbals. Because the Hebrew, the words are different. The first is a small, the first mention of cymbals is a, is a, something you might be like today's castanets, you know, that type of thing. That is the type of cymbals that we are thinking about. The second is a resounding cymbal, which is a crashing cymbal. So these instruments, they all cover the whole branches of the musical repertoire. Wind, string, percussion. You get it? Well, wind, string, and percussion. The trumpets were blown by the priests, the harps and the lyres, the psalteries here, were played by the Levites. The tambourines were played by the women and other people. Remember the triumphal entry of the ark brought into Jerusalem from Obed-Edom, when David was so overcome with joy, he forsake his dignity as a king and he just danced with the people among them. So, with those instruments playing along with him, everyone is to praise and worship God. So what does verse 3 say? Verse 3 says, praise him with trumpet sound. The music here begins with the sound of the trumpet. But what does the trumpet do? What does the trumpet do? Trumpet is a very loud blast. It awakes the sleeper. You should blow that in the church sometimes. It reminds us that with the sound of the trumpet, also Jesus is coming again. And this is given to us in 1 Corinthians. I'd like you to turn to that. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. I'll read from verse 50 to 53. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 50. Now, I say this, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I'm telling you, a mystery we will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, this trumpet will wake up the dead also. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on the immortality. But when this perishable puts on imperishable, and this mortal puts on immortality, then will come to pass the saying that is written, death has been swallowed up in victory. And where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved, this is a favorite verse of many. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be firm, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So, what else do we need to encourage us? The trumpet wakes up, gets our attention, and at the same time it takes away from our mind those thoughts which are rebellious thoughts we have against God. Why are you like that? Why are you like this? The trumpet sound suddenly wakes us up and said, there is a God, and this is His trumpet to us, to gird up our loins of our mind, prepare us for the great work of praising God, as we saw in 1 Corinthians 15, 50-58, which I just read to you. One day that trumpet will sound. That's the trumpet which will wake up all of us. So, meanwhile, let us tell ourselves, away with all laziness, away with all sleepiness, away with daydreaming, away with all that hinders our worship. Let the trumpet alert us, quicken us, ring up a call for us to summon our souls to worship. What else do we have here? Yeah, I think about my problem with eyesight. Hard to see sometimes. So, worship, we've been talking about worship. Worship with music has to begin and end with alleluias. Not just the sound of the instruments, but the sound of the human voice. Praise the Lord. And for that reason, it is not how professional the performance of the choir is. Though, of course, we must do our best. Wesley has some very good choirs, you know, and all the morning services and the evening services. It's not the genius of the composition of the pieces which they sing to help us to worship, or the words, for that matter, in the songs. Because if that is the case, then all the praise will go to the performance. Remember, it's not performance, it's worship that is important, not how good a tambourine player is. The musical instruments, the choir, are just to help us to sing and to worship the Lord with joining with them. Well, there are some people who go for new music and new words, not following the old hymnal. Well, that is all right, of course, because we need to express ourselves in new ways in our generation, in contemporary language. Because I think in the Bible, you will find in the book of Revelation, in chapter 5, verse 9, these words, the elders sing a new song. It's not the song that they had learned when they were Israelis wandering around the desert, or they were Israelis inside Jerusalem. It is a new song that they learn when they are now in heaven. That's in Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. And we should also remember what Paul said to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19 to 20. Just two verses. I'm going to read that for you. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19 to 20. This is what he writes to Christians. Speak to one another with psalms. That's what I'm trying to do to you. And you can also sing to one another, in other words. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:10 to 20. That's the interesting way of putting it. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns, not sing to one another, but you can speak to one another in this melodious music that is in your heart. You can quote a verse from the hymn. There are many things that strike you remembering that what you have sung in church. Then you can quote a verse from that. It is not an accident, I think, for all of us as Christians, that next to our Bible, we cherish the hymn book. I do anyway. Every great revival in history has produced new songs, new additions to the hymnody, the hymnal of the Church of God. That's why we have such a vast collection of hymns, many of them arising from the revival. Whether it's a personal one, which caused somebody to sit down and pen the words and put the music, like Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, is one man, Newton, coming to the Lord. So he put it down and it became a favorite hymn. There are others which arise from the great revivals in England, because we are talking about English hymns. I'm sure the Chinese people have their own hymns. So, coming back to the psalm itself, where to praise God, why to praise God, who to praise God, that's us, who should praise God. This answer of Psalm 150 gives the question to you and to me, and about worship, what it is to us, and who should praise God. The answer is very broad, as those given to each of the other questions that I've mentioned to you just now. Remember the first question, where should we praise God? Answer, everywhere, in heaven and on earth. The second question, why should we praise God? The answer, because of everything God is and for all that He has done. The third question, how should we praise God? Answer, with everything that we have got. Now at last, we come to question four. At least the question we make up for this psalm. Who should praise God? The answer, everything and everybody. Everything that has breath, says the psalmist. Everything that has breath, praise the Lord. This is exactly what will happen according to the Bible. At the moment we see God sometimes among friends insulted and blasphemed, the ignored, we see Christ rejected, but one day every knee shall bow. That's why I say everything, everybody should praise God. Every knee shall bow, whether willingly or not. That's why Philippians 2:10, isn't it? And that's why things in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's Philippians 2:10. As I say, willingly or otherwise. Everyone should praise God. Then in Revelation chapter 5 verse 13, John wrote, this is what he said. In Revelation 5:13, then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth, that's a wide expanse, every creature in heaven, on earth, under the earth, and on the sea, and all that is in them singing. And what are they singing? To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. Revelation 5:13. What a great choir that is. What a great song. What a great privilege for them to sing this song. It will be our song, of course. You'll be joining them if we have placed our faith in Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who has indeed taken away the sin of those who trust Him. Remember when we, in Psalm verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, but His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on His law He meditates day and night. And meditating on the law gives rise to praise in the heart. You see, we cannot praise God without understanding or meditating on His Word. For we will only praise God as we come to know Him. And the way, only way we will come to know Him is through His disclosing Himself. And the way He disclosed Himself is not speaking to us out of thin air. He disclosed Himself to us through the Bible. And our meditating on it opens Himself to us. That is the intention of the Bible giving us the Bible. So as I've been trying to express to you, worship in music, hallelujah, has to begin and end with hallelujah. So as you can see, praise the Lord, beginning, praise the Lord. And for that reason, it is not the professionalism of the performance, it is, though it is a right thing, of course, to be professional and not be sloppy when you play your music to praise the Lord. But it is something that comes from the heart because we truly understand who He is. And even though we cannot sing well or play well, we can still worship Him well because we know Him. Please keep that in mind next time we go to church. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. That's how this psalm ends. This is where this orchestra in the last psalm, it ends in a full force. The choir sings out with all its might. Praise ye the Lord. And this is how we end our study also. For today, and our study of the songs of the Hebrews love, the Israelis love. Will you please read this again? Think about what we have studied today. It is full of riches. Maybe the Lord to speak to you in a different way. or in addition to what I have told you. The Lord does that very often. Next week, we'll do a study of the people of God in the Old Testament. And I'll go from the Old Testament, I'll pick up a few people, and then go to the New Testament. And after that, God willing, if He spares me, then we will go to one of the pastoral letters. If not, then so be it. We will meet again someday anyway. So please pray for one another. So let me then close with prayer with a hymn. Let me read the hymn first because I close a prayer. It's Methodist Hymnal 327. It's a wonderful hymn. It came to mind when I did this psalm. Crown Him with many crowns, the Lamb upon His throne. What a subject to sing about. Crown Him with many crowns, the Lamb upon His throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but His own. Awake my soul and sing of Him who died for thee, and hail Him as thy matchless King through all eternity. Crown Him the Lord of life, who triumphed o'er the grave, and rose victorious in the strife for those who came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring, and lives that death may die. Crown Him the Lord of peace, whose power a scepter sways from pole to pole, that wars may cease and all be prayers and praise. His reign shall know no end, and round His pierced feet fair flowers of paradise extend their fragrance ever sweet. And this last verse, crown Him the Lord of love, behold His hands and side, those wounds yet visible above, His beauty glorified. Are wounds beautiful? Yes. Those wounds yet visible above, in beauty glorified. All hail, Redeemer, hail, for Thou hast died for me. Thy praise and glory shall not fail throughout eternity. May God bless to us the study of this hymnody. And may it continue to be a blessing that will not stop with this lesson. All right, let us pray. Gracious Father, who has been the source of our inspiration, who has taught us to sing Your praises by ourselves and in the company of Your people, from our hearts, with our minds, with our souls, willingly. Lord, help us to continue to do that in life or in death, because You are such a wonderful God. Help us to be weaned from a world that is sick with sin and cares not for You. And sometimes we are influenced by the world, by its songs, songs that are strange. They have nothing to do with You, but they are so alluring, so captivating. We are drawn away sometimes, Lord. Forgive us, cleanse us, renew our minds through the Spirit, so that we will sing the song that pleases You, the song of the Lamb who has given Himself for us and to whom we owe so much. And now, Lord, we ask Your blessing as we part from one another. Keep us to another week and bring us back safely next week to begin a study of new subjects in Your Word, because we ask this in Jesus' name, Amen. All right. Thank you.